Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's performance-based layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
All right, everybody. You got Mike here. I'm here with Casey McAllister. Some of you have probably seen him on Facebook or at the Spartan races. He's got his social media is Rise Up Casey. How you doing, Casey?
Doing great. Having a great day.
That's good. So, kind of give an idea to the listeners. I mean, you know, why do you do this? I know I saw you last weekend at the Seattle Super, which was amazing. I always love seeing you out there. But what makes you do Spartan races and all these? You know, I've heard of you've done, you know, Muddy Valentine and some of the other ones out there. So what makes you, what drives you to do this?
Well, you know, I never considered, you know, doing anything like this growing up. I mean, I did sports, you know, I did cross country wrestling, track in high school. But after high school, I pretty much stuck to, I even went to college for sports, and I was doing some marathons and even training to go to the Paralympics. But after a while, I kind of put that goal on hold for a while. But I still needed something in my life to, you know, to challenge me, you know, something to shoot for. And one day I was just surfing around on the internet, and I saw the Spartan race, and I didn't know anything about it. So I looked at it for a bit, and honestly, my first thought was, this is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of people think when they see the Spartan race. And in fact, I thought it would be impossible. You know, I mean, I'm crazy, but you know, this is one step above crazy. But then after thinking on it for a little bit, I realized that, you know, who am I to say, you know, that it's impossible for me until I've tried it. And so I decided to give it a go. And you know, and try just the short Spartan run, and then you know, of course, once you've done one, you know, you can do that, and you start doing more, and it's just snowball from there.
And I know you've done the sprints, and this last weekend you did the super. You did the beast last year, didn't you? You got the trifecta.
Yeah, I did get my trifecta last year, and this year my goal is to get a double trifecta.
Oh, nice. So where are you doing your beast at? Yeah, you'll probably do Seattle again. Where's the other one?
Yeah. The other one is actually going to be the championship, Lake Tahoe Championship.
Oh, wow. Yeah, one of these days I got to get to those ones.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a little bit longer, like 60 miles. So I'm a little bit worried, but get some training in and should go well.
No, that'll be good. That'll be good. It's always great to see you out there on course. So,
oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel when you know, people tell you that you're an inspiration? I mean, for those, I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, because I see you as a huge inspiration for, you know, people, you know, with injuries or anything like that, any kind of disability, that they can get out there and do this.
Well, I know, definitely, you know, I definitely hear it, you know, a thousand times per race. So, you know, I've heard of a lot. You know, when I was a kid, I really didn't care for it. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to focus on that because, you know, I wanted to prove, you know, that I could, you know, do just what everybody else was and that I was like anybody else. But, you know, I really, you know, that is one of the reasons that I'm out there. You know, I'm out there to try to help and inspire and motivate, you know, people. So, you know, I mean, for me and myself, I don't care for it too much, but I do understand. I mean, I have people that motivate me all the time. So, you know, why can I not be that for other people? And so one of the biggest reasons I do the races is, you know, to help other people, you know, overcome. And, you know, that race this weekend, oh, man, that was a slog. It was awful.
Oh, it was.
But, you know, I knew being out there, you know, it helped a lot of people.
And it does. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, to see someone out there you know, doing it is just awesome. I mean, you're a huge inspiration to people. Who inspires you? I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, how you're a great inspiration. I know a lot of people post stuff about you and say that you're a great inspiration, but who inspires Casey?
Oh, that's a great question. I have a lot of people who have motivated me and inspired me throughout my life. My parents were a big one, especially earlier on. After I just lost my legs, not only did they motivate me and saying that I could do stuff, but more than that, they made me do stuff. You know, they made me do chores. They never let me say that I couldn't do stuff. So I was always pushed to do anything anybody else can do. And so after a while, my parents didn't have to push me anymore. And I started realizing that I could do absolutely anything. And so not just that was self-centered, but I motivate myself. You know, I inspire myself because I have reached a point where I know what I am capable of. You know, I know what I can truly do, and I can truly do absolutely anything I put my mind to. And so as I do that, you know, I'm able to inspire and motivate myself and take lessons from other people, too. I look at some of the great athletes and the great thinkers and read their words. You know, I love listening to, you know, stuff from Thomas Edison, you know, great thinker, you know, a man who never gave up. And as I draw strength from those kind of people, you know, I can do even more throughout my life.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, and I know you mentioned earlier when I was talking before we started recording, you've got a book that you're working on too.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, that's been one of the biggest struggles of my life. You know, I've always been athletic. You know, I've always been able to do sports, you know, despite what other people thought I could do or heck, some people tried to stop me from doing sports. But writing was a huge challenge that I had to overcome. But I knew this book needed to get written. I knew I needed to get it out. And so I tried and I focused. And it took me a long time. And I wasn't a great writer when I started. You know, but after putting so much time and effort and energy towards it, slowly, you know, surely, little bit at a time, I became a better writer. And honestly, one of my favorite quotes, you know, that applies to any area of our life, it goes, you know, that which we persist in doing gets easier, not that the nature of the thing has changed, but that our capacity to do it has increased. And I think that was Ralph Waldo Emerson. But the statement is so true. I was awful in writing. But as I worked on it, you know, as I wrote every single day, I got better at it. You know, and it's just like all you guys listening to this right now. It doesn't matter if you're not a great athlete. I mean, I still get last place in these Spartan races. And so it doesn't really matter, you know, how good of an athlete you are. What matters is that we persist, is that we keep on trying, you know, one step at a time, one day at a time, little by little.
Oh, yeah. And the one thing I always tell everyone, because, I mean, I'm a little bit bigger guy, and I never get, you know, place. But what I always tell everyone, I'm never last because I always beat everybody that never showed up.
That's absolutely true. I posted on my Instagram, my placing, and I was dead last. It was right after the race. You know, they talked about how many people the whole day was them pulling people off of the course that had quit, that couldn't go on, that couldn't continue.
Yeah.
So I beat hundreds of people on Saturday because if there is one thing I will not do, I will not quit.
And that's good. I mean, I've you know, I've been out there on those courses. I mean, I did Montana 2 years ago. It took us 13 and a half hours, but we did it, you know. And yeah, there was no quit when they came up to us and basically, you know, came up to us and said that, you know, told us everyone else behind us quit. And that's, we're like, that's cool. We're not quitting. Let's go. Let's do this. You know, there is no quit. Once you get going, you just go, you know. And like you said, you beat everyone that quit. So, because you finished and you got that medal and you earned it.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite Spartan athletes is a girl by the name of Sullivan, and she does some
She Well, you're breaking up there. I've lost you a little bit. Yes, it is.
What they tell themselves that they can or can't do.
Yeah, and that's very true. I mean, it's like one of those things. You brought up Amanda Sullivan, and she's another one that I follow because I think she's an amazing, you know, inspiration. And for those that don't know Amanda, she was a high level athlete, and she was hit by a car, if I remember right, and had some major injuries, and now has crutches, but she continued to be an athlete. And most people would have taken that as, well, I'm done. But she's like, nope, I've always been an athlete, and I'm going to continue to be an athlete. And I mean, that's amazing to me that people mentally, she just kept going where, you know, a lot of people would have given up. And that's what I find amazing is I love the human spirit. I mean, how the human spirit can endure so many things.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I think the spark runs are, you know, a great analogy for life, you know, kind of like you were saying. Especially, man, this last weekend, I hit my, five, six, that area of the race.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a ton of mud. And for me, it was different than just about everybody else because, you know, two hands sinking, you know, 4 or 5 inches, you know, and then my butt is getting suctioned down in the mud, and so it's, you know, it's just soul sucking, you know, and I was, you know, I was getting depressed, and I don't say that lightly because, you know, that's not me, but I realized how many times in life, you know, each of us encounter, you know, something like that soul sucking mud, and as, you know, and there's only two options there. We can quit. You know, we can quit on life, and a lot of people do, or we can just keep moving forward. And it doesn't mean we're instantly going to be happy because we made the choice to move forward, but it does mean that we have made the choice to move forward. And because of that, we will move on, and, you know, eventually we will be happy, and we will be able to live a great life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the human spirit and all, and you know, your how you look at it.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's all in perspective. You know, one of the things I've told a lot of people is that the last 2 years for me is I've had a couple injuries and I've made the wrong decisions and decided that, well, you know, since I'm injured, I can sit on the couch and eat potato chips, and now I'm paying for that. But to see other people's perspective of, you know, they get an injury or, you know, a life-changing injury, you guys decide to roll with it and just continue on to adapt and move on. And that's what is amazing. Like, you know, like I said about the human spirit is just to be able to adapt to those things and move forward. You know, that's a huge inspiration to me.
Yeah. Well, I know we each have our own challenge in life. We really do. You know, well, that's what gives us the potential for strength is going through those challenges.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like any sport, the only way you get stronger and better at a sport, you know, is to work out your muscles, you know, is to push yourself.
Yep.
And it's only after you have, you know, put your muscles and your body through that intensity that you're able to rise above it and get better. And it's just like life, you know, we have those challenges for a reason. And it's so that we can get stronger and better able to live our life and help other people throughout our life.
Yeah. Very true. So what other things do you have going on? I mean, I know you do the Spartan races, you're working on the book. What other things do you do?
Well, I started a business a couple of years ago now, where I go around and speak to groups. It's a lot of businesses and schools, and I go around and share this message. You know, the message of Rise Up, and that's my business name, Rise Up with Casey. But I share that message with, and I love talking to school, but I talk with everybody how, life is more than the challenges. The challenges are there to be overcome. The challenges are there to make us stronger. Without challenges in our lives, we wouldn't be anything. We wouldn't be worth anything. And as we challenge ourselves, we truly can be great. As we rise up over those tough things in life, we truly do become amazing. And so I've been working on that, working on spreading that motivation through a bunch of different mediums, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and trying to find ways to help others live a better life. Find ways for, not through me, I'm trying to help other people improve their own life so they can make their own life better.
That's awesome. So what are your, how would people find you on social media and YouTube and all that stuff? So, if our listeners want to find you.
Absolutely. The best way to find me, you can Google Casey McAllister. That will get you there. But my handle on just about everything is Rise Up with Casey. So Instagram, Facebook, either my name or the Rise Up with Casey, YouTube, Rise Up with Casey, and then, of course, my website is riseupwithcasey.com.
Very good. Very nice. So I was trying to think if there's any other real question. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up or that you wanted to talk about?
No, that pretty much covered it.
Yeah. So what other events might we see you at? I know you said you're going to do Tahoe. You're probably going to do the Seattle Beast.
Yeah. So my beast friends out there, I'll be at the Four Winds Sprint. I'll be at the Beast up in Seattle again. Then I'll be doing the Boise, Idaho Sprint. I'll be doing the Utah Super, and then I'll be doing the Tahoe World Championship. Let's see, what else? I'll be doing another one here in Oregon. I think it's a Warrior Dash or something that I had team invited me to do here next month. I'll be around. I'll be getting
money. Nice. That's awesome. Well, thank you for talking to me. If you don't have anything else, I think I'm going to let you go.
Absolutely, Mike. I appreciate getting on the show. I appreciate being able to talk with Mike. And, you have a great team. Everybody's always seeing the beast squad out there on the course. So, you guys keep it up and beast mode every day.
All right. Thank you, Casey.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Have a good one.
You too. See you later.
All right. Bye now.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back with another interview.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
All right, everyone, we're back from break, and I'm here with Lorenzo, and everyone knows Lorenzo. He's the right-hand man down in Portland. So how you doing, bud?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Still recovering from that muddy, nasty weekend in Seattle, but so.
Yeah, that was a mess out there.
It was, but it was fun. So.
That was a blast. Whether you're getting muddy on the course or in the parking lot, one way or the other, it was a mess.
Oh, it was. So. It was nasty, but that's what we've come to expect in Seattle in April. So
I hope so. If it's not like that, it's not worth it, right?
Exactly.
That's the beautiful part about the Seattle course is, you know, you get the super and you get a beast there, and the super is just soft and muddy and just a mess. And then you come back that summer and it's a completely different course because it's dry, it's hard, and a little bit longer. So, yeah, that's the beautiful thing about doing two different courses on the same, essentially the same course. So, that's nice.
It is. And I mean, the one thing a lot of people, you know, and I tell people all the time when they talk about, you know, doing the beast in Seattle after they've done that wonderful super, and nobody's like, I don't want to go through that mud nastiness for a beast. And I'm like, most of us actually beat our super times in the beast.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, that's the thing too, like usually, and I've only done the two beasts there, but before that, I mean, Seattle's been kind of a notorious easier beast, I guess, as far as beasts go, but I think last year's beast was definitely tougher than 2016. So
they did make it tougher. They did make it harder. And I think that's one thing, like, when you've been at a venue for a while, you start figuring out ways of making it more difficult. You know, that first time you're not too sure, but then you come back the next year and you're like, you know, this worked good. Let's do this over here to make it even more fun. So,
yeah. And I think Steve does a great job at you know, building and then designing those courses. I mean, I can totally tell when I'm running one of his courses and when I'm running anyone else's courses. Like, his courses are, you can tell.
Oh yeah.
So I think he's done a good job last couple of years, with that course,
what he's
got there. So,
oh yeah, Steve's a master at what he does, and that's the one thing that, you know, honestly scares me about Montana coming up. Last year, Montana seemed a little easy, and come to find out that's because it wasn't one of Hammond's, and Hammond's back this year. So,
yeah. So yeah, and then we're going into a different part of the course there, so it's going to be a lot of new.
Yeah.
And it's the Mountain Series, and I don't know if they've done a Mountain Series race this year yet. I'm not sure what their schedule is. I didn't see it, but
no,
it's one of the first Mountain Series, if not the first. So I'm pretty sure they're going to be pulling out some good ones.
Oh yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I'm looking. I'm thinking it's going to be a lot like the Founders Race in 15. That was, you know, when you saw mile 17, you wanted to kick someone in the balls. But
see, and I didn't have the pleasure of running that one, but I saw the medal float and it looked amazing.
Oh yeah, that was my first Spartan medal, and I always tell everyone what sucks is 2015. I don't actually have a real beast medal because I have the Founders. So yeah, I didn't do any other beast but that one. So I never got the 2015 beast medal. I got the Founders medal. So, but I did get the trifecta. But
yeah,
I only did the three races.
That was cool.
It is. So, and that's the nice thing this year is we're gonna get the Mountain Series medal, which will be kind of cool. So.
Oh yeah, that'll be neat.
Except I don't see the only super, I think. I'd have to look again, but I think the only super for the Mountain Series is somewhere on the East Coast.
It is, yeah, in order to get that Mountain Series trifecta.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the sprints are counted towards that Mountain Series or not. But
I think it is, but I'm not positive, but I don't know. Because like this last weekend in Seattle, the super was part of the National Series, and we got the really cool super medal for the National Series, but then the sprint was a typical sprint medal.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that
experiment
looks. Hopefully it's neat, but we'll see.
It'll be fun either way. We're going to have a blast. We'll see our Spartan brothers and sisters and have fun with it.
Exactly.
So like I said, you know, before we started the episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about like obstacles that you've overcome. And I know you mentioned Tahoe. And so how was Tahoe a huge obstacle for you? How did it not go the way you wanted it to?
Oh man. So I went into Tahoe as prepared as I thought I could be. Hindsight's always 2020. And leading up to Tahoe, I started doing like 2-day training and I put on like 5 pounds. And this was coming after training for the ultra in Hawaii, and I was lean, I was quicker, I was light, it was nice, and that's where I should have stayed, but for some reason, I upped my training, I upped a lot of stuff to kind of get stronger for Tahoe and faster or whatever, and lack of experience, really, I think is what it came down to, but going into the beast in Seattle, I felt really good, really strong, and then going into Tahoe, that beast course, I ran it on Saturday, and it was a crazy one. That was like 18 miles or something.
Nice.
I don't remember exactly off the top of my head, but it was a long beast. And it rattled me. The swim wasn't terrible, but it wasn't something that I was really looking forward to doing the next day, because I signed up to do the ultra. So, and you know, to bring it to full circle, I didn't do the ultra because of that beef. So that was hard for me to do all year long. Like I was one beast away from my fifth trifecta, and I didn't even go out and attempt it. So it was a mental beatdown for me. And like, that was the only race last year that I doubted myself on completely. And I'm not as disappointed I'm more disappointed that I didn't even try to do it, as opposed to going out. And if I would have failed, I would have failed, but whatever. And I didn't even try. So that was a big deal for me. And to come away from Tahoe, which was probably one of my favorite of all the trips out, and the course itself, everything about Tahoe was great. But I had this lingering problem or issue because I didn't even try. And you know, let's take it to like a touchy feely or kind of a symbolic way of thinking about it. Like you look at like the movie 300, the Spartans way of, you know, doing things. It's like, you know, you go out, you go to battle, you either come back on your shield or you don't come back, or you come back with your shield or on it.
Yeah, with your shield or on it.
I came back without my shield. That's the way I looked at it, and I felt so disappointed in myself. And going from there to Sacramento, my training was all out of whack. And going in from that to Sacramento in November, and then attempting the 12-hour in California, I didn't care enough to really push myself out there and really train. So I mean, it really did affect me in that manner coming off that year. And you know, work and a new job and moving and everything like that. So I let all my training go completely after Tahoe. And I don't know. This year, I won't be able to race as much, so that was a big downer too. That was something I'm having to overcome, and I'm still overcoming, because the new job, and like, I don't have the leniency that I did before to race as frivolously like I did. But no, it was it's a struggle for sure. But I'm getting on top of it. I'm having to look at the other side of things, where this year I will stay more healthy, and I will actually be able to focus more on my health and my fitness. And essentially 2018 is going to be my year to be local instead of all over the place, and try to, you know, give back and be involved more in my local community as opposed to just all over the place with Spartan. And I'm going to, you know, really, truly focus on myself and my training and everything. And I'm going to really push to be a little bit more competitive in 2019, I think, is kind of the goal. So it's one of those, you know, the struggle of, you know, the defeat, and more so the fact that you didn't even try. And it's like, oh, man, that's the thing that I push the most for myself and recommend other people, is just try, man. Failure is not the end of the world. You know, you don't grow, you don't learn unless you fail. And,
yeah,
you know, you need to know what you're weak at or what you need to improve on, and how are you supposed to find out where you need improvement if you don't push yourself to that limit? And I did not practice what I preached that day. I do feel like I let myself down a lot, and it's been hard. It's been a struggle. I'm still kind of struggling with it from time to time, but I managed to get up every morning and tackle the days, and it's been coming along. So far, so good.
Which is good. I mean, you learn from it, though. I mean, it's one of those things you look back, and like you said, hindsight is 20/20, and it's, you learn, you know, you learn that, you know, in the future, do you really think you're going to go to a race like that and not even try? No, you're going to get out there and do it because you know what it did to you this time. So, and you get to look at, you know, this year is going to be one of those years where you get to train harder and you get to focus on, you know, like you said, the local races, and, you know, who knows, 2019, we may see you on a podium.
Yeah, hey, that'd be kind of cool. I mean, especially with the way they're doing the age group stuff.
Yeah.
That's neat. I mean, going into Seattle in a national series where you've got guys that are coming from all over the country, and my placement in that was okay. But it was kind of an eye-opener. I've got my eye on one guy in front of me that I always want to beat him. And sometimes I get them, sometimes I get lucky. But you know, Patrick's quick, and we all know that. But he's been kind of my my pace guy. He's been the guy that I've been chasing every race, and I want to get quicker. I feel like if I can get, you know, up to his pace in my age group, I mean, I finished 30th out of 168 or something like that this last
weekend.
That's
awesome.
I feel like later in the year, I might actually, or, you know, later in the year or next year, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm gonna focus this year a lot on that stuff. So, I'm never again. And it's one of those things where, you know, I've talked with fellow beasts and racers and stuff, and I don't think anybody who I race with on a regular basis can, you know, if you've seen me out there, you know, you've probably seen me with Zane and Patrick and Jenna, and I've got my group within the group that, you know, I kind of, yeah, I travel with and I do all my stuff with, and none of those guys or girls will ever let me not go out there. They'll remind me constantly that, hey, you know, unless it's like one of those, like, whoa, I totally, you know, wrenched my ankle or something like that, like, I can't. That's,
yeah,
one of those things. But if it's one of those, like, oof, man, that hurts, I don't know if I'm going to do tomorrow, nobody is ever going to let me, even if it's in my mind, which, you know, I should never be there again either. But if so, I have the benefit of leaning on my fellow racers and beasts, so...
Well, that's what's nice about having friends like that. I mean, real friends are going to be the ones that call you out on your shit. I mean, it's, yeah, one of those that, you know, you're like, you know, my ankle kind of hurts a little bit. I don't know if I should race tomorrow. And everyone's going to look at you and go, yeah, you're a pussy. Get out there.
Exactly.
But, yeah, you know, if, so, your ankle...
Is it hurt? Like, are you injured? Are you going to die? Or, yeah, just, like, toddle all over again?
Yeah, or are you just, like, being a whiner? You know, and it's one, yeah, of those. And, I mean, that's one thing with real friends. They're going to find out. They're going to be like, okay, are you really hurt or you're being a whiner? I mean, is your ankle bent at a 90-degree angle it shouldn't be? Okay, yeah, you probably shouldn't race tomorrow. But, you know, it's like last year when I did Montana and I hurt my pec and my bicep. And it was one of those things. I woke up Sunday morning and I'm like, I think I'm going to do the sprint. And everyone's looking at me going, your right boob's twice the size of your left. No, you're not.
Yeah, there's listening to your body and kind of facing yourself. And then there's that level of... you know, I shouldn't do this. You know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing about, you know, friends like this. If I had just gotten up, because like the year before we did, you know, that was the infamous, you know, infamous like 13 and a half hour Montana run was 2 years ago. That was just killed us. And the next morning I got up and I'm like, I don't think I want to do the sprint. I just spent 13 and a half hours out there, you know, and Stevie looks at me. She's like, are you hurt? And I'm like, no. And she's like, then let's go. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. You know, 2 hours, two miles into it, I'm like, this is stupid. I shouldn't be here, but I did it anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's a community that we can lean on. And, you know, none of us need to be going through any struggles and all of this by ourselves.
No.
I mean, every one of us has dealt with struggles of different types in different ways. And, I mean, we've had these that, you know, they go out there and they get hurt early in the season and they have to sit out for the rest of the season and into the next one, and that, yep, struggle for those guys is far, far greater than most other struggles and that I've dealt with, at least.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Like, I don't know. I know athletes, and we're all athletes. Anybody who does a Spartan on a regular basis is an athlete in my mind. And athletes, you have the pain from the injury, and then you have the mental, I don't know, destruction, essentially, that it does to you because it messes with your brain.
Oh, it does.
And it's, yeah, injuries are tough.
It sends you into a depression spiral. I mean, and it's yeah, horrible. I mean, it becomes a vicious circle. You can't work out because you're hurt, which makes you depressed. And then you want to work out, but, you know, once again, you're hurt, you can't. And then by the time you, exactly, can work out again, you're in such a depression, you don't want to work out anymore. And that's,
exactly,
you know, and you got to get yourself out of that. And that's, that, you know, I've said it in earlier episodes, that's been my problem. I got hurt and used that as an excuse to sit on the couch and eat potato chips, and then got hurt again and did the same thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, shoot, I'm back up to the weight I used to be, and this is my own fault. Now I've got to make the decision of what am I going to do to fix it?
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
And it's not an easy decision to figure out what you're going to do or what you're going to do about it, but... You know, with this community, I mean, there's, yeah, resources and support.
Yeah.
So this is the best by far community.
And you know, that's, oh, it's amazing. And that's my goal. By the end of this year, I want to be back down to the weight I want to be, you know, running in the way I want. And next year I'm actually thinking about, I might start running age group, you know, I'm figuring at my age, I'm getting to that point where, you know, my competitors are going to start dying. So I should be able to start getting back up there. And,
there you go.
I mean, I'm older than the rest of you.
Back up in the middle of my age group. Like it's, well, I'm early on in the age group even. So I've got a few years to catch up to some of these guys. But,
well, part of my problem is some of the people in my age group, I hope that someday I can give them a run for their money, but I don't know. Patrick's in my age group, so.
Yeah. Dude, somebody was telling me the age group of, like, overall times between every age group, the 40 to 50, I think it is, 40 to 49.
Yeah.
That age group was the fastest times over, like, the 30s and 20s and all the other age groups. I don't know. I'm not 100% on that. You can't quote me on it, but somebody told me that the 40-year-old age group, those are the fastest runners, by, like, overall, I think.
Yeah, and that's my problem. I'm 40. So I just turned 40 this year. So, you know, I don't think I'm – I mean, who knows? You know, stranger things happen. I don't think I'm going to ever podium. But it'd be – I want to get to that point where I can at least be there and feel like I belong there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everyone's like, oh, you can just sign up for age group. I'm like, yeah, I can, but I'm not going to feel like I belong there. Not yet.
And that's the thing with that, too. I mean, you sign up for age group, and it's more so like your opportunity to go out and see where you're at amongst your age group.
Yeah.
Or elite. And I used to do the same thing. All last year, I pretty much ran elite. I didn't podium, and I usually finished middle of the pack, which, I mean, that's good and dandy. But it's, I mean, if you're going to go out there just to run an earlier heat, I'm not a huge fan of that one, because you see the elites, they all get in the pan there, and they're all, you know, doing their thing, and then there they go, you know, let's go, let's wait. They're trucking up a hill, and then you got guys that are walking at the back, and it's like, you should not be running a lead. I think you just paid to run 7:30, but...
Yeah, and that's just it. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to sign up for a leader age group until I know that I'm not going to be that guy at the beginning, that as everyone else is running up the hill, then I'm the last guy there just kind of strolling on up, you know, taking my nice Sunday walk, you know. When I could run an entire race or at least jog, then I'll do it. But I know I'm not in that shape yet. And I know that about myself. I've let myself get to where I'm at, and now it's time to change that. But so I've gotten...
Hey, you know, it's never too late to start that change.
No. No, it's not. You know, and I've gotten to that point where I'm the guy that everyone knows that usually I'm going to be one of the last racers coming in, and I'm going to make sure all the beasts that, you know, I'm kind of the sweeper, all the beasts that, you know, fall back, I'm going to catch them and I'm going to make sure they finish. But I mean, I don't want to be that guy next year. Is that horrible to say? I mean,
no, I don't think so. I mean, you know, Spartan has something that none of the other OCRs have, and that's, it challenges you to be the best version of yourself. And yes, there's a team and a group and just a community that you want to be a part of, and it's a beautiful thing. And that's why most of my races, Saturdays are my race, man. I'm not going to race anybody else's race. Saturdays for me, because I train every day, I push myself, and I'm going to see what more do I need to do. Fridays, I want to run with the group. I want to run with these. And last year, I had a really cool like system where I would pick a beast to run with on Friday, Sunday.
Yeah.
For the sprint. And I would just run with a select group of beasts, or one beast, or just kind of get out there and cruise and then find a beast, or even not even a beast. Somebody just who's out there who's going to be a beast.
Yeah. You know?
And that was really cool. The first time I did that was actually last super in Seattle. this is probably one of my favorite stories, my favorite times out there. I'm getting ready to race, and I get the super the day before, I did the hurricane the night before, and then I'm getting ready to go. We're all there in competitive ways, and Michael Sanchez is in the pan with me there. He's super motivated. This is his first time running competitive at this super. He's like just a ball of energy. Mind you, I you know, said hi to him before, shook his hand, I think, but I didn't know him.
Yeah.
And he's just like super motivated, super positive energy. And I'm sitting here coming off of a super that kicked the crap out of me. I was feeling pretty good feeling pretty rough after that one. And then I did the hurricane the night before, and I'm just like, oh man, I'm just going to cruise this thing on Sunday. And Michael's just super energy. And I'm like, dude, I'm catching some of your energy, pal. Like, you're motivating me right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go, and we take off, and he just takes off. And I'm like, yeah, man, go get it. You know, and I catch up to him. Oh, gosh, where did I catch up to him? I'm like, I think I'm on the stand back. And he's carrying the stand back up the hill, and I'm like, dude, what happened, man? Like, you were moving. And he's like, yeah, I think I went too fast. I can't really say it, but I finished the rest of that race, and I got to know him during the rest of the sprint there, and ever since then, like, he and I, we see each other, we're, you know, shaking hands, giving hugs, and it's just been really cool since then, because I got to meet him and get to know him on the course and do the rest of that course with him, which was super awesome. And that was the first day that he completed the Olympics, and that was awesome. So, and watching him grow this last year, and, like, you know, he's been really at it with his training and everything like that, and it's been a lot of fun to watch and see his improvement. So, yeah, no, this community, man, there are no words, really.
No, there isn't, and that's just it. I mean, it's an amazing community. And yeah, Michael Sanchez, I had him on the podcast, I think, last week, and he was amazing. And I mean, I went to his birthday party, and I'm hung out with him, and he's a huge inspiration, because it's kind of like you talk to him, and you realize he used to be bigger than me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing with him. Like, I didn't even know that when I first met him there at that sprint. Like, he is a true transformation guy.
Yeah.
That is a transformation. The stuff you see on TV with the whatever hydroxy cutting off stuff, whatever. This guy, now that's what it is. Like, that's a transformation right there.
I mean, he was bigger than me, and I mean, he's shorter than me. And he weighed, I think he said at his peak, he was 270-something. And I'm like, damn, I'm like 265. And like 4 inches taller than you. So, yeah, that would be,
That guy, there's an inspirational guy right there for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen pictures of him, you know, and even says he still has the jersey. There's a picture of him that he uses on his Transformation Tuesday or Thursday or whatever. He still has the picture or the jersey that he wears when was his biggest. And he'll put it on now and he says it's like wearing a dress. Yeah. So, and I mean, it's awesome to see people like that. And that's one thing I love about this group, too, is to see those changes. You know, there's so many people. We have, you know, some of the women. You got Emily, you got Lisa Ann, and all of them that are, you know, dropping the weight and, you know, doing amazing, you know, and it's amazing to see that. I mean, I love seeing people make, you know, better themselves that way. I mean, it's awesome, you know.
And I mean, and Spartan did the same thing for me. I mean, not as drastic of a level, and I didn't realize how much it was going to affect me or in what ways, because, you know, otherwise I would have probably taken before and after pictures. But yeah, no, I first started before I was Spartan Racing. I was, you know, I smoked and, you know, I didn't care about my health and I didn't care about my fitness and stuff like that. I was just a workaholic, you know, that's all I did.
And work.
And then, I randomly got invited to a Spartan race and I didn't even know what it was really. And after that, I lost like 35 pounds and quit, you know, completely 180 degrees on my health and my fitness and my well-being and everything like that. Like, no, it's been, you know, for the way it's changed me, it's been amazing. The way it's changing everybody else is just jaw-dropping. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, yeah, you start joined Spartan and became one of Dingo's Angels.
There you go. Yeah, that was actually, and you know what? It's awesome because 2 weeks from now, we'll be in Montana where Dingo's Angels was born.
Yep.
And I'm sure we're going to live that one up. We got to have some Dingo's Angels pictures, I think.
Those are in, for any listeners that haven't seen them, some of those pictures are the best. Just Zane and Lorenzo doing random things out on the course. And you're just like, that's awesome.
they're pretty good. But yeah, that was the first time Zane and I actually ran a sprint. Like, actually ran, like, together. Like, just cruised together the whole time. Yeah, that was a blast. That was one of the crazier runs. And yeah, no, like Dingo's Angels was born on that mountain. So now we're going to go back there and Dingo's Angels will turn one.
That's awesome. Yeah, Zane's a good guy. I love Zane. So.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
Yeah. Oh, I was trying to think. What else we got? I mean, so what do you do? I know you're down in the Portland with Zane, and he kind of says you're his right-hand guy. He actually says you're his right-hand guy, left-hand guy, whichever side he's on. But, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we work pretty well together down here. We have similar ideas and similar visions for where we want to take the Portland stuff, and we get with each other. Well, right now Zane's kind of on the injured list, He's recovering from his back, and I'm thinking it was those shoes that he was running in. I'm not going to say what shoes they were, because if you run in those shoes and you like them, great. But he changed up some of his this year, he and I, like, I moved up to Vancouver, so I'm like 5 minutes from him, and like, we started working out every day. We started like, I've always been, like I said, I kind of let my training go late last year, but starting in January, you know, working out every day, eating healthy, doing it all right. Dan was right there with me. We were both doing it. And so I think the only thing that really changed in his stuff was the shoes that he was wearing. So his back is a little beat up right now. But I wouldn't say it's because of the working out and the healthy eating and stuff. I don't think that hurts your back. That's like, Dan should be a fatty fat fat because then his back will feel better. But that being said, we were getting together like every day at the gym, and we, you know, brainstorm and come up with new stuff. And it's been, the Portland down here, I mean, we're not as spread out as like, you got the Seattle, which is, you know, Kent and Northern Seattle area. You got, it's a little more spread out. For us down here, it's just, you know, me and Zane and Patrick and you know, the group that we have down here. And I think that for all three of us to be able to get together, and it's one workout, it's one real area here. I think we're able to, you know, kind of come up with some cool stuff and have some cool ideas.
That's awesome. I'm gonna have to get down to Portland and get into one of those ones. So
yeah, they're fun, and we try to tailor them as best we can to what's going on. So the next one's gonna be a lot of fun. Zane and I haven't talked too much about it, but I'm thinking because we're following the Spartan workout tour again.
Mm-hmm.
So which the last one we didn't get as many people out as I thought we would get from that workout. This time it was a little better, and I've got some ideas as to how we can, you know, keep people coming back to them and get people more involved with it. And a lot of it is, you know, we promote a lot of, you know, hey, we're not all, you know, crazy Spartan people that want to go out and throw spears in the park all the time, which, you know, we did last workout. But any OCR, you know, and then even regular Hoopy Coast runs, we got people that do all that stuff. So we truly try to get as many people out there. Good.
That's awesome. So, yeah, I got to get down there. It's like you said, though, it's so spread out up here. That's where we run into issues. Is, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but like from where I live in Puyallup to like where Nick Thompson lives in Marysville, I think it's Marysville. Yeah. It's like 2.5 hour drive. It would actually be quicker for me to go to Portland than to Marysville.
Yeah, with Seattle traffic.
Yeah.
So. And that's the other side of that coin, though. It's like, you know, it's more spread out, but you have more going on.
Yeah.
Whereas Portland, we just have our one, and Boise has their one, which they just started up. I'd like to go to the Boise one. That one seems pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It looks like Ted's building some really cool shit.
I know. Yeah. That one's looking pretty nice. So I'm going to need to get out there, I think, for one of theirs pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about? We're kind of running out of time here.
Nothing pops up. Whatever you got, man.
Oh, no, I mean, we've covered most of what I had. I mean, it's always good to talk to you. I love the times that we get to hang out in the exit tent and be goofballs.
Are you working the exit tent in Montana?
No, I'm not, because I've got to. I mean, I have a really bad reputation of like taking forever on Saturday, so I didn't even, if I have time when I finish, I might go over there and hang out. But Sunday, I've got to, as soon as I finish racing, I've got to head straight home because I'm supposed to be in class Monday morning.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got to be back in Seattle so I can be at UW Monday morning. So it'll be interesting. Go. But yeah, so I won't be, but I'll come say hi and visit y'all. So, you know, I can't, you know.
I'm not working it, but I'll probably hang out.
Yeah.
I'm not scheduled to work it, so.
Yeah.
But I'll probably hang out.
All right, that'll be good. So, all right, well, and just so you know, because of you, Zane and Jenna, Amber has a dry rub on the way, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's where.
Very cool.
That's where my street team, it's my street team credits went to, was to get her a dry rub, so, yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, it is, so. All right, so, perfect. Well, it's been fun talking to you, and yeah, I guess I'll see you in Montana.
I'll see you in Montana.
All right, thanks, Lanzo.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.